Okay, before we get into the talk, I mentioned this booklet yesterday. Pastor Russell, founder of the Bible Students Not Jehovah's Witnesses, as some of you know, some of the elders in Chicago are very involved in reaching out to ex-Jehovah's Witnesses and trying to bring them into the present truth. And they asked me to write a booklet, which I did. And it is for... No, you can tell I'm getting old because when I was younger, they put the microphone way, way the other way. Thank you, Lynn. So they asked me to write this booklet, and I did, and I've given it free to all the brethren. We're going to have it on the book table back there, but it's free. We'd like all the brethren to take it and read it. It will give you a history of the Bible student movement that I would guarantee 95% of you don't even realize or know, because you don't go far that far back as I did in my childhood. But anyway, then pass it on to a Jehovah's Witness or ex-Jehovah's Witness. As a result of this being out for about 3 months, on three continents, individuals have left Jehovah's Witnesses, which I'm very thrilled with. Okay, our subject is All Her Lovers Will Forsake Her. But first, as I sometimes do, we're going to have a pre-ramble about our work of comfort. Comfort ye my people. Which we're involved with in Israel, and I feel it's a very important work, and it's a very scriptural work. I'll just add a note that I always do when I speak on prophecy. I try not to take myself too seriously. And when I speak on prophecy, I always say, if it doesn't happen that way, it's going to be better. Okay, so some of the rambling about what we're doing. We have a DVD. It's about 12 minutes long, and it's an interview I have with Professor Palazzi, who is a Islamic cleric, but he is very anti-PLO and very pro-Israel. So if anybody wants a copy, I will send them a copy of that. It's about 12 minutes long. And he's a dear friend of mine. I wonder why he hasn't been assassinated yet. His mentor was assassinated. Okay, about some of the things we're doing on our work. Whenever we go to Israel, we have meetings with government leaders and members of the Knesset. The Knesset is their legislative body, like we have Congress. And I always give them a copy of the DVD, Israel, Appointment with Destiny, and the booklet, Embrace Your Jewish Heritage. And every member of the Knesset has been personally given a copy of the DVD, Israel, Appointment with Destiny. Another interesting thing is... years ago, I had a meeting with Chief Rabbi of Moldova about having the Russian videos distributed by him. And the result of that was that the DVD, Israel Appointment with Destiny, in the Russian language, was distributed to all the yeshivas in Russia and the Middle East. I was absolutely thrilled. Now, as a result of seeing the video, Jews from Siberia, from Russia, from the U.S. have made Aliyah. That means they have gone to Israel. As a result of seeing that video, I'll give you one example. Anybody here from Milwaukee? I don't guess so. Oh, okay. Very good. few years or maybe 10 years ago or so, I was asked by the Milwaukee class to show the Israel Point Most Destiny. And I made appointments with three synagogues. And one synagogue was an Orthodox synagogue that was having, they used to have, and they still do, weekend youth, they call them conventions. So they wanted me to present Israel Point Most Destiny at this youth convention at this Orthodox synagogue. And my session was the next to the last session, so I showed the DVD. And, of course, I stayed for the last session. The last session was what they call a sharing session, what we would call a testimony meeting. This girl, 18 years old, got up. She says, "We saw in the film that God told Abraham that if he left his land and went to a land that God would show him, that God would give him a rich blessing." She says, "As a result of this film we just saw," and she pointed to the screen, "God has told me to leave my land and my family and go to a land that he will show me, Israel, and I will receive a rich blessing." She says, "I am going to go to Israel." On our last trip to Israel, I was walking down the highway, a hallway. By the way, in the Jewish world, I am known as Pastor Rawson. Excuse the term. But when I started out in the Jewish work, I would write articles for Jewish newspapers, and I would sign the article Kenneth Rawson. So they had always put down Reverend Rawson. So then I started putting down Elder Rawson. And they put down Reverend Rawson. So then I happened to come across a reprint article in which Brother Russell said, "All elders are pastors." That's it. So I use the term Pastor Rawson now, so that's what I know him by there. Okay, this last trip to Israel, I was walking down a hallway in a building, and a man coming the other way says, "Oh, you're Pastor Rawson, aren't you?" I said, "Yes, that's right." He says, "You know, you showed a film in our synagogue in Chicago a few years back." He says, "You know, I used to live in Israel before that, and I went to the United States, and that was my synagogue." He says, "As a result of seeing that film, I decided to return to Israel and live." He says, "And I brought a friend with me, who used to be an Orthodox, that is, to the synagogue to see the film," he says, "who used to be an Orthodox Jew, but he just gave up Orthodoxy. But he was willing to come and see the film. And he said, as a result of seeing that film, he came to Israel also." Here's a flyer that I use. This is myself with Prime Minister Rabin, former Prime Minister Rabin, and also with Netanyahu, and a commendation from the Prime Minister's Bureau at the bottom. I had a meeting with Prime Minister Rabin, I guess about 1991, and the world opinion had forced Russia finally to open the doors and let the Jews leave. And about 30,000 Jews had already immigrated to Israel from Russia, Russian Jews. And when we went into the meeting with Rabin, I had two newspaper reporters with me and a translator. I didn't need the translator. He spoke broken English, and I spoke broken English, so we got along very well. And then one of the editors, that as we were walking in the office, she said, "20 minutes in and out." He was laid back. He was willing to listen to everything I had to say. We were in there for an hour and a half. And one of the things I said, "Mr. Prime Minister, You know, on the basis of the prophecy that the Jews would come from the land in the north, Russia, that within the next 10 years, I expect over 1 million Russian Jews to return to Israel, or to come to Israel, immigrate to Israel. He laughed. By the way, Rabin was an atheist. He laughed. And about 6 months later, when I was home, of course, he was campaigning. I read a campaign speech that he gave. And he says, when I'm returned to office, he says, we're going to turn Israel's economy around so we can absorb over 1 million Russian Jews in the next 10 years. Whether he said it because he believed it or it was good politics, I don't know, but he said it. Okay, you have this on your handout, the Occupy Wall Street, which you're all acquainted with. The Occupy Wall Street is a movement that's all over the country. But anti-Semitism is a part of their message. You can see signs that they're holding up. Wall Street Jews, Jewish billionaires, and in financial aid to Israel, in the occupation of Gaza. There is a strong anti-Semitic vein going through the Occupy Wall Street movement. And we're going to be dealing more with anti-Semitism in our pre-ramble before we get to our actual talk. And here is a... I write newspaper, or rather, newspaper articles in the Jerusalem Post, which is the largest English-speaking newspaper in Israel. And this is one of the articles they published. A U.S. Christian challenges Israel's religious right. And that challenge was to take a firm stand for not giving up any of the land. And we are putting... We have a booklet entitled Embrace Your Jewish Heritage, and the purpose of that booklet is to target secular Jews and try to develop their faith in their scriptures. And in Israel, we're putting in quarter-page ads in both Hebrew and English papers, trying to target the secular Israelis and trying to develop their faith in the scriptures so that they will be very supportive of the land issue and Israel retaining the West Bank. Now, as I said, there are actually 120 members of the Knesset, and all 120 have personally received Israel appointment as destiny, and they also received the Palazzi DVD. And that's enough for my rambling, I guess. Now our talk is All Her Lovers Shall Forsake Her. And one of your handouts, if you just take that particular handout, it's from, I tend to be a little presumptuous, so this is all the things that are going to happen to Israel from 1967 war to Christ's kingdom. We'll see if it works out that way or not. But anyway, the second item, trickle immigration to Russian Jews, we discussed that. And that, by the way, in 10 years, when that 10-year period was up, over 1 million Russian Jews had immigrated to Israel. The next item on this list is the peace process. In the peace process, land has been lost, and more land will be lost. Actually, you probably don't realize this, You know what the West Bank is, don't you? That's the, actually, Samaria and Judea, which all the world powers are trying to take the West Bank away from Israel and give it to the Palestinians so they can set up their Palestinian state. Well, already, the Palestinians occupy 90% of the West Bank. And believe me, Jews, Israeli Jews, do not dare go into that 90% occupied area by the Palestinian people, because they'll never walk out of that area. They'll be killed. So the only thing that is at issue in the peace process is 10% of the West Bank. And Netanyahu, and I could go a long story with Netanyahu, I know him personally, cannot withstand pressure. And his whole point in the peace negotiations is to retain at least 6% of the 10% of the West Bank that Israel occupies. So that's not much of an accomplishment. Okay, after the peace process, there might be, and this is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Lines down. There will be a temporary peace. And then after the temporary peace, we feel there will be a final Israeli war in which Israel not only gets back the West Bank, but all of Jordan, southern Lebanon, Syria up to the Damascus. It speaks about in Isaiah 14 that Damascus is demolished. And also, Israel also gained Gaza and the West Bank. Now, the next item on the chart is a large immigration from the Christian world, the U.S., Canada, Europe, South America, and the hunters are not over. The work of the hunters of Isaiah 16 is not yet over. And we feel that there will be hunters in the United States. Anti-Semitism is growing by leaps and bounds in the United States. I thought I had a handout here. It was on Europe. Okay, there was an article written by a very recognized scholar, and he predicted that in 10 years, all Jews will have left Europe because the persecution is so severe. I sent that article on Old Ron's list, and I got challenged by several brethren. So I Googled Jews in Europe, and there was a whole list of Google responses, articles that showed and predicted that in the next 10 years, there will be not a Jew left in Europe. And it singled out different areas in Europe where even the Jews now are being highly persecuted. And in some major cities, they just left completely. And why are they being persecuted? One, because of the influx of Muslims from North Africa, and the governments of Europe afraid to oppose the Muslims. So anti-Semitism is rampant. We feel that this anti-Semitism will increase in the United States. On the East Coast, within the last couple months, numerous synagogues have been desecrated. And we feel this will increase. And this is going to be a test to you as a Bible student. and persecution comes to the Jews in this country, where are you going to be? In a corner, very quiet? Another handout that you have, it's two pages. It's $850,000 forgotten refugees. When Israel declared its independence in 1948, the New York Times had bold headlines: Jews in grave danger in all Muslim lands. 900,000 Jews in Africa and Asia faced the wrath of their foes. When Israel became independent, over 900,000 Jews lived in Arab countries, Muslim countries in North Africa and Asia, and they were bitterly persecuted. Those that were able to leave, many of them went to Israel only with the shirt on their back and nothing else. Okay, back to our chart. The next item after the large immigration of the Christian world of Jews to Israel comes to our subject. Israel commits a great sin while her lovers, the United States, etc., forsake her. And we'll take up our lesson from there, our direct lesson from there. And we will Dear, is my Bible on the table there? No, when I was younger, I was a scatterbrain. Now that I'm older, I'm a scatterbrain. Okay, Jeremiah 30. Verses 14 and onward. All thy lovers have forgotten thee. They seek thee not, for I have wounded thee with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased. Why criest thou for thine affliction? The sorrow is incurable for the multitude of thine iniquity. Because of thy sins were increased, I have done these things unto thee. Therefore, all they that devour thee shall be devoured. Well, the Lord's going to change that. He's going to devour those that oppose Israel. And in verse 17, they're restored to the Lord. Now, I think the majority view among Bible students is that sometime between now and the invasion of Gog, all Israel's lovers, including the United States, all the nations that are supporting Israel, will forsake her. Well, there's something here that has always bothered me. When I read these verses, what stood out? During the time that her lovers forsake her, Israel is doing what? She's committing some great sin. And I've always wondered, what's this great sin Israel's committing when the lovers forsake her? I was even tempted to put this back into double punishment for a while because of the great sin that she's committing when her lovers forsake her. Then I was reading for the umpteenth time Ezekiel 39, and all of a sudden, verse 26 just jumped out the page, off the page, and hit me in the face. And I want to read that. Ezekiel 39, verse 26. And this, now you know, in Ezekiel 38 and 39, you have the invasion of Gog, of Magog, and all the forces and other nations are associated in that invasion, which we might get to or not, the identification of those other nations. But there they sweep down and attacked Israel. And now in verse 26, the battle is over. The Lord fought for Israel, as he did in the days of old, and defeated the invaders. And in verse 26 it says, after that they have borne their shame and all their trespasses whereby they have trespassed against me, when they dwelt safely in their land and none made them afraid. Here it speaks of Israel being punished for some sin that they committed when they dwelt safely in the land. And when that phrase, when they dwelt safely in the land, you automatically think of chapter 38, verse 11. And thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them, dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates. Now, who is saying, who is the thou that shall say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages? Well, that's Gog of Magog and the associated nations with her in verses 4, 5, and 6. And they're saying, we're going to go up to the land of unwalled villages, and I will go to them that are at rest and dwell safely there, and all of them dwelling without walls and neither having bars. Okay. Remember, Jeremiah 30 says that all her lovers forsake her, and at that time she's committing some great sin. Now, in Ezekiel 38:11, what great sin is she committing? Well, all her lovers forsake her. In Ezekiel 39, what is it, verse 26, shows that she's dwelling in unwalled villages at the time she's trespassing against the Lord. Well, instead of trusting their future, after they have this great war with the Arab nations and defeat the Arab nations and gain more land, all the West Bank, the nation of Jordan, southern Lebanon, southern Damascus, rather southern Syria, Damascus will become a ruinous heap. After all of this, instead of entrusting their future safety to the Lord, who gave them such victories, Israel is fearful. All the Arab nations that have been defeated are angry, and the big Russian bear is behind them. You know, Russia had a, before their collapse of the Russian Empire and the economic collapse in Russia, Russia was the military might of the Arab nations, because they wanted the Arabs to defeat Israel, because Israel stood in the way of Russia controlling the Arab oil. But then, with the collapse of the Russian Soviet Union, Russia had a setback, and things became neutral. But Russia has risen to power as a world power again, and Russia now is again the greatest supplier of military equipment to Israel. Even more, not to Israel, to the Arabs. They're supplying more military equipment now to the Arabs than they did before. Why? Because they want the Arab to defeat Israel, because Israel is standing in the way of Russia becoming the dominant influence in the Middle East and the control of all of that oil that the United States and Western Europe needs. So because Israel defeats the Arab nations and gets more land, Russia is hopping mad at Israel. And Israel, after they get more land and defeat the Arab nations, they're fearful of Russia. They know Russia is going to be angry at them. And what are they going to do in stopping Russia from harming them? Well, Ezekiel 38:11 speaks of them dwelling in unwalled villages, unprotected. How will Israel ever get in the situation of dwelling in unwalled villages, unprotected? They know Russia is going to try to harm them, even though they haven't read Ezekiel 38. And the United States offers to accept the new borders in the Middle East as a result of Israel winning that war. The United States is willing to accept the new borders, but I think they're going to say to Israel, look, enough is enough. We can't have any more wars in the Middle East. We'll recognize these borders, but you have to demilitarize. You have to become unwalled villages. What great sin does Israel commit by becoming unwalled villages? The sin of committing their future, their protection, to the United States and the Western powers instead of to the Lord. And this is very displeasing to the Lord, because here the Lord has been with them and has given them back all of their land and has enabled them to have victories over the Arab nations and get this land. And now Israel doesn't have the faith to continue to look to the Lord. And they're willing to accept the United States proposition. We will demilitarize the whole Middle East. Israel and the Arab nations in the Middle East. And we will guarantee your protection. Well, you say, well, that's a lot of dreaming or surmising or whatnot. But very few brethren have realized that in Ezekiel 38 and 39, there are two sets of nations. There are the set of nations that are with Russia in the invasion of Israel. But there's another set of nations. And we feel that these are the Western powers that are guaranteeing Israel's security from Russia. And that second set of nations is verse 13. Sheba, Dedan, and the merchants of Tarshish, with all the young lions thereof, shall say unto thee, art thou come to take a spoil? Here's the second set of nations that's already in Israel, and they're saying to Russia and the forces with Russia, are you come to take a spoil? They're already there, this second set of nations. And why are they already there? Because they guaranteed to protect Israel if Israel would become demilitarized and become an unwalled country. Well, who are these second set of nations? Well, it's subject to interpretation. And remember what I said at the beginning of the talk, if it doesn't happen this way, it's going to be better. But one thing the second set of nations has in verse 13 is they're all commercial nations. Sheba, Dedan, and the merchants of Tarshish, with all the young lions thereof. Sheba and Dedan were very commercial countries in ancient times. And the merchants of Tarshish, Hebrew scholars agreed that Tarshish there is Spain. And it says, with all the young lions thereof. Spain was the first nation of Christendom that took commerce throughout the world, sailed the ocean blue. And then it says, the young lions thereof. It was followed by England and then the United States, these Western capitalistic countries that just commercialized all over the world. So it's, I feel, Sheba, Dedan, and Tarshish, and the young lions thereof are symbolic of the Western powers that are basically capitalistic powers. And they're saying to Gog, to Russia, are you come to take a spoil? These Western powers are Israel's lovers. And this is when I feel her lovers will forsake her. They say, why should we defend Israel against Russia? We'll take the spoil ourselves. And that's how what I feel is the fulfillment of how all her lovers shall forsake her. Okay, we're going to backtrack now and just go through part of Ezekiel 38 and 39. Going back to verse 4 says, I will turn thee back and put a hook in thy jaw, and I'll bring thee forth, and all thine army and horses and horsemen, all them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, and all of them handling swords. Well, I won't go into details why, but I feel at this point Western Europe is on the verge of economic collapse, and Russia feels that, oh boy, this is the time. We've always wanted to take Western Europe, and they start going in that direction. But the Lord turns them around to come down and attack Israel and take the spoil. And associated with Russia in this invasion, in verse 5, will be Persia. Now, Persia is Iran, and you know what Iran is today. Very anti-Israel, very anti-United States, pro-Russia. And Gomer, well, first Ethiopia. We feel that Ethiopia here actually refers to Sudan, which is a Shari Muslim state, very militant and very fundamentalist. And Libya, and there's two Hebrew words for Libya. One is P-U-T and the other is P-H-U-T, and it's P-H-U-T, which includes not only the Libya of today, but a much broader territory that will be with the Russian invasion. And Gomer and all her bands. Gomer was a tribe on the Black Sea, and then that tribe swept all the way across Europe to Germany. So all of that territory will be involved with Russia in this invasion. And then Togarma. And who's Togarma? Well, it's Turkey. And even Ben-Gurion said Togarma was Turkey. And he was a great Hebrew scholar. And on your handout, you had this map. And you see Turkey down here. And by the way, you notice how Turkey, who was very pro-Israel, is becoming more and more and more and more anti-Israel. You see Turkey, and I have a arrow, I drew an arrow that goes into five Islamic republics. When Russia, and current Russia is north of this, but the Soviet Union included not only the Republic of Russia, but many other republics, and it included the five Islamic republics that are south of what is now Russia. And they are all independent. And why are they? How in the world did Muslims get way over here, a part of the Soviet Union, and then at the independence, after the breakup of the Soviet Union, you have five independent Muslim countries? Well, Newsweek magazine had an article, or on their cover, right after the breakup of the Russian Empire, and they had the picture of Turkey and an arrow pointing into these five Islamic countries, and they, in the article, they said that over the centuries there was a continuous flow of Muslims from Turkey into these five Muslim countries. So that when you get in verse 6 that Togarma is associated with Russia in this invasion, it's these Muslim, five Muslim countries that are actually Muslim because of Turkey, and Togarma also includes Turkey. And then you have the invasion, and what's the reason for the invasion? In verse 12, to take a spoil, and you say, That's the big issue about among Bible students. Russia goes down there to take the spoil. What's the spoil? It's not only the spoil that they go down there. Read the rest of the verse. To take a spoil, one. To take a prey, two. anti-Semitism plunder upon the desolate places that are now inhabited and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations. And that's the reason they also go down, because there in Israel are the people that were gathered out of the nations. When the door, Russia was forced to open her doors and let the Jews leave, and a large number of them went to Israel, there was the brain drain in Russia. Without going into details, I personally had a very wonderful friendship with the Professor Brandover, who was considered one of the most brilliant scientists in the world. And he was able to come to Israel because the doors were finally open. So Russia is attacking to get back at these people that were gathered out of them, to punish Israel and the Jews, Russian Jews, that have made Israel such a dynamic success in industry and technology. So there's a number of reasons why Russia comes down to attack Israel, not just to take the spoil. And as we say, the way that her lovers forsake her, the Western powers that are guaranteeing Israel's boundaries if Israel agrees to demilitarize, these lovers will forsake Israel by trying to take the spoil themselves. And as a result, when the Lord enters in and fights for Israel, both the invading host, Russia and her allies, and the set of nations, the Western powers that are already down there protecting Israel, both elements will be defeated. And of course, Israel, as a result of this war, we learn in Zechariah 12, we won't take time to read it, but because of the Lord's deliverance in that war, they will look upon Him whom they have pierced, and they will mourn for Him. And that is how Israel will come into the mediatorial arrangement and become the center, the capital of the earthly kingdom. Don't worry about trying to convert the Jews now. The Lord's going to convert them all at this strategic time. And again, we just wanted to share these thoughts with you. And if it doesn't happen that way, it's going to be better.